Blog Talk Radio.
No matter what you do, just remember, you are an overcomer. Come on, come on, say it.
I am an overcomer.
Come on, talk to the devil. Let him know that you are.
morning, saints and friends, and we want to welcome you to another episode of the Serious Bible Study. I am your host, Prophet Keith Douglas, and today we're going to talk about Christians versus politics. Amen. Christians versus politics. I mean, this has all of the tools to become a very controversial program this morning. Whenever you start talking about Christians and politics, glory to God, hallelujah. And so we want you to go get your coffee, get your iPads, iPhones out, whatever it is that you use to take notes, and join us this morning as we take a trip into the Word of God to see what it is that the Lord is saying about Christians versus politics. Glory to God. Listen, for those of you that are first-time listeners this morning, we want to show our appreciation to you by sending you a gift for all of those that become first-time supporters of the Serious Bible Study. If you want to become a first-time supporter of the Serious Bible Study and become a monthly supporter of the ministry that reaches men, women, children all around the globe by spreading the gospel, sending out teaching and preaching information, covering ministries, things that pertain to the kingdom. We want you to be blessed this morning. And in order to do so, all we need you to do is visit our website at kogwoc.org. That's kogwoc.org. Sow a seed of support this morning. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, or if this is your first time, I just want to let you know that this is good ground to sow into. And all of those that are a part will tell you that by being a part of this broadcast and this ministry, you will see the hand of God upon your life if you will sow into it. Amen. So for all of those that are a part already, we thank you for your support. And for those that are coming into becoming first-time supporters, God bless you this morning. I want to send a shout-out very briefly to those that listen to us by way of the Internet. My Internet crew, God bless you this morning. And then who can forget the faithful, the few, not the few, but the many that are on the phone lines this morning that have taken the time to get up out of their nice warm bed this morning and join us for the Serious Bible Study. God bless you. You all are so awesome, and we appreciate you so much. Well, before we get into this morning's broadcast, we want to access the Lord in prayer this morning, and we want to ask his blessing upon the teaching this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, this glorious day that you have given us. We thank you for the life and the breath that you have placed in our bodies. Lord, we give you glory and honor, praise that is due unto you for your magnificent, awesome works that you have shown towards us each and every day. Now, Father, we pray that as we come before you to receive understanding, that you allow wisdom and understanding and revelation to come into our hearts, come into our minds, O God. And we just pray for your blessing upon the teaching this morning, that it be edifying to our spirit, man, and that all that is said and done will give you praise, glory, and honor this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. All right, glory to God. Well, this morning we're going to... This morning we're going to talk a little bit on the subject Christians and politics. Christians and politics, and I know that the two are like oil and water, boy, when it comes down to them being able to come together. I mean, you will get a very wide scope of opinions from people that are in the earth, man. I tell you, one of the things that they say, if you don't want to get in an argument, don't ever talk about religion and don't ever talk about politics. Amen. But from where we are in this country right now, there seems to be a lot of concern that has developed since the last election about a week ago. And people are upset about things that are going on. And so we're going to try to bring some understanding into this whole, I don't want to call it a mess, because we know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And so he's well aware of everything that's going on in the earth today. It's just that we as individuals, as earthly individuals, we have a hard time understanding what is the will of the Lord. Amen. We don't understand his ways, but one thing is for sure, he has everything in his control. And so we're going to take some time this morning, and we're going to kind of open up discussion about several questions that the Lord has given me to throw out to the group this morning. And first of all, I want to say for all of those that have joined me on by way of internet and the phone lines, I just want to send a shout out to you and say, how's everybody doing this morning? Everybody doing all right? I've unmuted the phone, so you can talk back to me.
Amen.
All right. It's not a very talkative group this morning, but again, we're talking about politics, so people get warmed up here in a minute. And we want to enter into a discussion this morning about several things that have gone on in the election that people have an opinion about, and get some feedback from you all. And so the first thing that I want to ask this morning is, do you really think that we as Christians, that we should respond politically in this country? Should politics matter to the Christian believer this morning? And so we're going to hit the ground running. Excuse me. We're going to hit the ground running this morning. And for those of you that are on the line, I'm going to be opening up the phone lines so that we can have a free discussion this morning. But who wants to take a stab at that, first of all, this morning? Should we as Christians even be involved politically in this country? Is that something that you believe that the Lord would have us to do? I know that after this, after this last election, that there were people that said that they're not going to vote anymore because they don't believe that their vote matters. And so I want to know how you feel, you all feel this morning. Do you think that because of the way this election was run, the way that it was handled, that that's created this mindset? Or do you think truthfully that as believers, we shouldn't involve ourselves in the area of politics? I want to get some feedback from that, from anybody that's out there listening this morning. If you're listening by way of internet and you want to get in on the live conversation, I would ask you to dial 646-595-2110. That's 646-595-2110. 515-2110. And once you get on, if you would like to make a comment, then I want you to press star 1 on the phone. I want you to press star 1 on the phone and get some feedback from you. But if we go into the Bible, we understand that Saul was not the choice of the Lord to lead Israel. And so the only reason why he was able to be placed in that position of leadership was he was the people's choice. Amen. He was a good-looking guy. He was a really tall guy, handsome young man. And Israel was saying that they wanted a king to rule over them like everybody else. And so Saul became the people's choice, just as our current president became the people's choice. And do we as believers feel that when it comes to politics, that we should get involved in that dirty business? If you were here, you saw how this campaign was conducted on both sides. And I mean, it was a bloody, brutal dogfight that took place between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And there were no punches spared. Amen. They went for the jugular and they brought out every aspect of their personal and political lives in order to try to win that nomination to become the head of the highest office in the land. And so many people believe that Christians shouldn't even be involved in the political process in this country. And so I want to hear from those of you that are out there. Should we as Christians even be involved politically in this country, or should we just continue to just allow ourselves to just be governed by the Word and the Spirit of God and not get involved in these natural matters? Anyway, I want to hear from you, those of you that are listening this morning. I want you to press star 1 on your phone to begin to dialogue with me about the political process in Christians. Personally, this is my personal opinion. It's not biblical. I think it's very difficult for Christian individuals to get involved in politics, and let me explain to you why. I believe it's very difficult because of the element of compromise that exists for those that are in the political process. The political process seems to work by you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. You support my program and I'll support yours. And so is it possible for believers to go into an environment where compromise is such a vital part of your job and what it is that you do? Can you exist politically? Can you exist politically while you're a believer if compromise is something that you have to do on a regular basis? You have to compromise your values, your morals, your ethics, sometimes in order to support others so that your programs can be supported as well. I want to get some feedback from those of you that are listening to hear what you say about Christians in politics. Should we even be involved in these matters, first of all? Anyway, that's my opinion. I just really think that some people say, well, we need to get believers in the political process. is that going to change the outcome? Because when it's all said and done, understand that there are now figures that say that more than 50% of the people in this country do not believe in a God. Let that marinate for you. They don't believe in God. And so if I'm the president, I'm the president of the whole United States. So I know there's a lot of talk that goes out saying that we're supposed to be a Christian nation, but what happens if the nation is not Christian? I'm just throwing some things out there this morning because I want to hear from you this morning. And I don't want to tackle this topic by myself, but it seems as though everyone in the country now has a view on politics and how they feel about it and how they feel about the election. And so I want to hear from you that are listening. What do you think this morning? Should we as Christians even be involved in the political process? Should we choose a party and support the views of that party, even if all of the views are not conducive to us as believers? Anyway, I want to hear from you. I know I'm not talking to dead air space. I got live individuals that are lined up on the phone line this morning, quite a few. Quite a few have joined us this morning, and so I don't want to pick people randomly, but I would like to hear your comments on this issue. I believe it's important because I think that more so than ever that Christians are confused about, number one, the political process, and if it even is beneficial to us as believers. Amen. That's my take on that. That's my thought on that. And so is there anybody out there? Am I just talking to myself this morning? Do we need to be involved in politics? That is the question this morning. And so with all of my phone line friends that are out there, somebody help me out here. Should we be involved in the political process? Does it matter? Is it going to benefit us as a people at all, regardless of whether the person is a person of faith or a person that's not of faith? Is this something that we need to do? Amen. And so I'm interested in your feedback this morning. If nobody's going to talk to me, then I'm going to just unmute the phone lines and we're just going to go for it. Amen. But I want to do it in an orderly fashion, so I would that you would press star 1 on your phone this morning so I can hear from you. I believe that there are several schools of thought that are out there pertaining to Christians and politics, and it went so far as having one well-known minister in the body of Christ, and I'm not afraid to mention his name. It was Kenneth Copeland, and he said that if you vote for the Democratic candidate, that you would be responsible for every abortion that was performed, and you would be judged for every homosexual marriage that was conducted, and that God was going to bring judgment on you if you voted for the Democratic candidate. He's on record of saying that. And it was rebutted in Atlanta by Pastor Creflo Dollar, who said that that was not right and that it was actually an aspect of witchcraft that was being released upon the body to force them to vote a certain way. Now, as believers, I don't know how you feel about that, because as a minister of the gospel and by having a 501c3 standing, you're not allowed to take or to make political stances. I don't hear nobody talking to me. You could lose your tax-exempt status by actually backing and endorsing candidates, which many religious leaders have done. And so, I'm like you. I want to know what you think about that. Do you have a thought about it, or do we just don't care? If we just don't care, well, then, if I get enough people to say that, then we'll just stop this talk, and we'll go into something else that may be more relevant, like the prophetic understanding that God is releasing in the earth today. Do you believe it? So we'll go into some other topic, but I don't want to belabor the point. If people are not going to discuss it, that we can't get anything out of it. So, again, those of you that are on the phone lines, I would that you would press *1 on your phone in order to make a comment. Should we even be involved in the political process? There are some religious aspects in this country that say that they don't even get involved in the political process, and their people don't vote. Should we as a people vote? Or should we leave the voting up to other people? Amen. So what is everyone out there awake this morning, or are we all asleep? Nobody has a view or nobody has a comment about politics this morning. Okay. Hold on just a second. Caller from the 862. Go ahead. You're on the line this morning.
Good morning, Prophet. Good morning, all on the line. I'm going to go ahead and make this brief. I don't have a lot to say about it, but yes, we have a responsibility to have a view and to make it known when we go to the poll. If we don't vote, I mean, we live in this world. We are a part, and God has placed us here to influence the realm that we are living in. And that means we're supposed to influence even the political realm. And so, therefore, even though we want to pray and be led about how we vote, we have a responsibility to vote, because the Bible says, you know, we don't want to be so holy and so righteous that we're no earthly good, because that would defeat the purpose that God put in us here on the earth. One of the purposes, anyway, because he wants his voice to be known in every area and every sphere of this world. He put us here to influence every sphere that exists so that his word can be known and be exemplified through us. And so, you know, I know there are some particular people or views that believe that we should not vote, but we have a history. And there are those who fought for that right for us to vote, and for us to sit back and not vote and be the very ones that have so much to say or have such an opinion about what's going on in the earth. But we do not, many of us, do not go out to place our vote to make a difference. And because of that, we find ourselves in positions I myself, I'm not great in the political realm because that's just not my area. I'm a math person by trade. I'm a math teacher. That's just my part. That's where my brain works best, in the math area. And many of us who are very strong on the math side, we're not very strong on the history of the social side. And so but that does not mean that we should not educate ourselves and be a part of the process, because we have an obligation as a voice of God to speak.
Well, go ahead, Prophet.
I mean, everyone is not gifted in their area, but that does not mean that we should not have a voice at the poll.
Well, I'm talking to the right person today, because you said that you are a math person, and there are many people that say that because the numbers don't add up, as far as people that are Christian versus those that are not, there are more people in this country, they say now, that do not believe in God than those that do. So with that being said, if we all voted and our vote was not enough to win, should we vote? If the numbers say we cannot win, African Americans and minorities in this country make up less than 15% of the population. And so if every one of us voted, we would not be able to overcome the numbers. So from a minority or from African American, Hispanic, Latino, Asian, Native Americans, from that standpoint, would we be able to affect the election when we're such a small amount of the total population? I'm just throwing that out there. Today I think I'm talking to a Presbyterian church out here this morning. Nobody wants to talk back. But you and I have a conversation this morning if that needs to be done. But you see what I'm saying, from the numbers standpoint, do we believe that we can affect what goes on in politics if we are a minority as believers and not the majority?
You know, when we look at the numbers, some people's view may believe that we don't have enough, but if all the minorities come together, the numbers would really be more effective. But if we look at it from a spiritual point of view, it's not just the numbers, but it's the influence. And sometimes our influence being on the earth would change the environment where if we're praying, our influence will change not only the minorities point of view, but some other majority might change as well if we're in the proper place, doing the proper things, saying the proper prayers, so that the atmosphere would change, so that the realms of the spirit can be effective as it should be.
Now, you mentioned the word power or influence. And Acts 1 and 8 says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And those of you that have been a part of my teaching know that I define power as being the ability to influence other people to believe what you believe. So if God has given us the power to influence other people, then from that standpoint, our vote matters.
Absolutely.
Our vote matters. Personally, I think that having the Holy Spirit in our lives is more influential when we demonstrate what it is that we want, that we want other people to believe in. I'm more of a works kind of guy. If we say that we believe in God and we believe in the Holy Spirit and we believe on His Word, then I believe that we ought to be working that personally so that our lifestyle is what causes people to want to be influenced into our way of thinking. Righteousness being walking right, talking right, thinking right, living right. If we're doing those things, then I think that we would have influence more than just making a mark on a paper and saying, okay, I want this candidate to represent me. I think that we, this is my personal opinion, I think that we could be a better, do a better job of actually representing the principles that we believe in. And so that would start to switch us over into another question, and that is about party affiliation, because one party says that they are the party that believes in grassroots Christian principles, where the other one is not, supposedly, because they're liberal, they say that they are connected to the devil. Amen. Because there's always a debate about gays in America and what kind of rights they should have, abortion in America, whether it's right or wrong, the killing of unborn babies versus the killing of full-grown men. Which one is more important? And so we get into a battle. We get into a battle because of the fact that there are two strong factions of belief, even within the church, within the body. And so, again, I'm throwing these questions out there for those of you that are on the line, because I want to know what it is that's got people just to the point of protesting. They're all over Facebook. There's all kinds of things that are being posted on Facebook, things that are being said. People are getting really belligerent about their Christian beliefs, and a good part of it is tied to the racial issues that we have in this country that nobody seems to want to talk about. I've gone on record as saying that that race would be the number one issue in this country in 2016. And if it was not dealt with correctly, you would see by the end of the year that the country would be on the verge of completely coming apart because of not dealing with the racial issues that are in this country. And this election seems to have really taken on racial overtones more than political. Most of the views that were talked about were only talked about briefly, but race has taken center stage. And so I want to know, is there anybody out there this morning that has a comment about what's going on to the point where you have different factions in the church that are at odds right now. Like I said, Kenneth Copeland made a statement about those that wanted to vote one way, and Creflo Dollar made a statement about those comments that were made. And so now there seems to be a disparity even among Christian people, as to whether or not they want to get involved, or whether or not they should be even be involved in politics. So, again, if you're on the line this morning and you want to make a comment, I want you to press star 1 on your telephone this morning so that we can get you involved in Prophet Yvette and my conversation, because nobody else is wanting to get involved, so we're just going to have a conversation ourselves. So what do you think, Prophet? You're the numbers person. Should we get involved in something where the numbers don't add up?
Well, again, we definitely need to get involved, because eventually the numbers will begin to change. It's almost like I'm going to have an image of the children that I teach, and the odds are against me and are against our success, because I teach a very low-ranking group of children. And so if I were to continue to be defeated each day and work with the odds that my children cannot learn, they don't have the ability to learn, then the numbers would never change. But if I seek God daily and ask Him for direction and ask Him for the secret, what is it that I need to do that the minds of these children may be changed, so that some healing can take place in their minds and they can begin to receive and learn how to do this math? What do I need to do to teach them differently? What approach do I need to take differently so that they can be influenced in a more effective way? And so as I begin to try to work with them one-on-one more, I first present in as much as a direct way that I possibly can, and encourage them to please do what I do. Follow the lead. Follow the pattern. I'm showing you how to be successful if you would only do it. If you would only write it on your paper, you cannot go wrong. And I don't change my stance. Eventually, I begin to see more students do the problems the correct way. And then I get to the little one who truthfully, honestly I don't believe that he can really function in the class because he should not be there. I have to go and really turn him into a one-on-one class, just me and him, just to see if he could possibly function at all. And so I begin to try to make my way over there to him to show him how to do the problem, ask specific questions to see if he's catching on at all, and to see that, okay, well, maybe he can do this. Truth of the matter, it's not enough time in the class with everyone else, because when I take the one-on-one, it appears that he can catch on. Slowly, but he can catch on, which tells me that he needs more one-on-one. Anyone can change. Anyone, I always say, because math is my thing, so anyone can do math. You know, there is very little retardation in this world. And, you know, we may call things retarded, but they really are not. There are so many levels, but true retardation, I don't see much. And that, so I've studied, I've been taught, and I truly believe that unless you are retarded, you can do math. I'm not a political person, and I've been around a lot of people in this year, and I've learned a lot from other people about the political process, the voting process, even the night of the vote, the campaign, not necessarily the campaign, but the actual numbers process. I learned so much by being around some of my other friends who are more knowledgeable than myself, but now I understand much better by learning from them. So all that's to be said that if we continue to do what's right, it will be effective. There will be a change, but we must be consistent. We can't be up or down. You know, you brought up the two preachers. From my understanding, there are so many Christians or church folks who supposedly voted for Trump. Because, I mean, our views are so, I'm about to say bipolar, but our views, you know, I heard people say, well, at least we know what we're going to get from Trump. Really? You know what you're going to get from him and you vote for him? You don't know what you're going to get from Hillary, but we made it with Mr. Hillary, whose views can't be much different. You know, it's something else. It really is. But all of that, who's seeking God for the answer?
Amen. Is there a godly response in the voting booth? Is a good question. If I'm voting for one candidate or the other, is that a godly response or is that a fleshly response? Because if you voted for the Democratic ticket, then you are of the devil. That's what some folks say. And then if you voted from the Republican side of the ticket, then they said you are of the devil. So you are of the devil if you vote.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, let's get the lesser of the two.
That brings me back to my original question. Should we even be involved in the process? Because people that confess to be a part of the Jehovah's Witness, they don't vote.
You're right.
They don't get involved in the process. And so does it really matter who's leading the country, whether they're Christian or whether they're non-Christian or whether they're liberal or whether they're conservative? You know that Daniel 2:21 says that the Lord raises up kings and he takes kings down. Is the Lord that's responsible for raising them up and taking them down? Or do
and
we
are responsible for praying?
There's a lot that weighs into the voting aspect, and I think Christians all over the country now, more so than ever, are confused about whether or not they should get involved in the process, if it even matters, because some say that the process is rigged. Because they say if you can win the popular vote, how can you lose the election? If the people
Everything has a process.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so, I didn't know. I should have just called you on the phone this morning, Prophet, and we could have just talked about this ourselves because nobody wants to join us this morning.
That's
I feel
true.
Hurt. I really feel hurt, and I feel abused this morning because all of my friends are on the line and they won't talk to me, and I'm hurt by that. I'm going to need therapy. But when you look at all of the different aspects that are involved here, you can understand why this was such a difficult process. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. Prophet, we got somebody else wants to join us, and so I'm going to bring my good friend from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Minister Sharon, please help us this morning. We're struggling this morning. And shed some light on this.
Well, Pastor, I am really laughing at you this morning. We are listening. And I think it's a good topic because people are so confused. You know, you got a lot of them that say, well, I'm not going to go vote because the vote doesn't really matter. Because what they look at, the reason they say that they vote doesn't matter is because when they have to get so many delegates, each candidate has to have so many delegates. And they think that, you know, my vote just really ain't going to count because they're going to get whoever they want to anyhow. I don't think they're going to get whoever they want to. But the thing is, it's important that we do make our voices heard. I want to bring Martin Luther King in into this because that's what he marched for, to give us a right to vote, because we couldn't vote once upon a time. But now that we have the right to vote, many will not even go to the poll to vote. And so what we're looking at now is a lot of people, they're protesting Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, and the racism, you see it even more clearly now. And I'm going to say about 89.9% of them didn't even go to the poll to vote. And, you know, they're out. And you know, it's difficult to even talk about what's really, really going on unless, you know, we sit out and get into the Word of God. Now, my thing was, you ask for a king, God going to give you a king. That was my opinion to say to him, you know. I said, sometimes God say no, like he told the Israelites. You really, if I paraphrase it, don't need a king. I'm your king. But they kept on and kept on. God gave them a king, and that king was Saul, and he treated them almost like Pharaoh did, you know, bringing them back into slavery. So what are we looking at right now? We're looking at Donald Trump taking the White House. You know, the thing is, it's praying time. We got to come as a people in this political realm to start praying, because the Bible simply said that if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, that's the key word, to humble ourselves and pray. If we start praying like we should and humble ourselves before God, we can see change. God can change man's heart. With all of the protesting and the signs and stuff, we're not changing the man's heart. But if we pray, God has the power to change man's heart. We have the power in our mind to call those things to be not as though they were. We can change a whole entire atmosphere, but we don't use the power that God has ever given us. We just want a miracle. We want a bicker about everything. But come on now. We say that we are Christians, because there's a difference between the religious people and the Christian people. Because it was the religious people that really crucified Jesus. Okay. Am I right? Okay.
You're right.
Okay. And this is where we are. We've hung between religion and Christian. And then we we've seen all of these pastors like Kenneth Copeland coming out with all of these different remarks that they had. And yes, I did, you know, I say, well, I'm kind of disturbed. Now, these are Christians that is leading God's people, but when we get this kind of controversial, what's really going on, Lord? That was my question to God, you know, because you see the other side of religion right now. You got religious pastors in the pulpit leading the people. I was shocked at a whole lot of them. I was shocked. I was really shocked. Paula White, Darryl Scott. It was so many of them, you know. And I'm saying we have fell back into religion. But we as a Christian, it's enough of us to go before God on our knees. We are the watchtower. We got to go before God on our knees and humble ourselves before God if we want to see the change. Because no matter what man start out to do, God can change the heart. And that was my prayer. God, now that he's in there, I know you are able to change his heart. But it's going to take prayer after prayer after prayer and fasting. Come on, let's turn down the plates. If we want to see the real results, we got to turn down the plates and activate the power that God has placed within us. And that's my opinion. I'm going to back and let y'all have it. It's good breakfast this morning, because the sausage is good, the eggs is good. If you want to roll the biscuits, come on and roll the biscuits with us this morning, because we need your opinion too. We don't want to be just the mouths that's talking. We want your opinion, because your opinion is what's matter on the internet. Talk to us on the phone. Talk to us, because if you don't talk to us and we don't come together as one, and the Bible say the house
divided against itself will fall. We're at a fallen house right now. But where there is unity and we all come together, guess what? We can put some things in action and get some things done. I'm going to leave y'all alone this morning because, yes, in that political realm, yes, I get excited too because I am part of Jesus Christ. I am the heir of his kingdom. Yes, I am. And the thing is, I'm going to stand up for my rights. But I'm praying every day that we get this thing right because guess what? We don't wear a mask on our face long enough. Pull it off and let's get busy. God bless y'all.
All right.
Hey,
that's my friend, boy. My friend just, boy, anytime I hear from her, boy, it always lights me up. But that's two now that have said that they believe that the voting process is something that we should get involved in. Is there anybody out there that's listening today that has a contrary point of view and would say, I don't think that we need to be involved in voting? If you're out there this morning, I want you to press star 1 on your phone. But I also want to remind you that the prophet Elijah came to Israel, and he asked the question. He said, how long will you be between two opinions? And the people said not a word. And that's where we are in the body of Christ right now, is that many of the Christians that are out there don't say anything. And a vote is a way for you to let your voice be heard among the many that are out there. And so he says, how long will you be in between these two opinions? Either worship God or worship Baal, worship the flesh. And people tried to draw that analogy in this election and said that one was God and one was the flesh. Depending on which candidate it is that you wanted to win, the other one was of the flesh. And so I think that, you know, I go back and I look at the fact that my mother and my father were not able to vote until I was about a little over 10 years old. And growing up all their lives and living in a country where they never had a say, and finally, after the Civil Rights Voting Act was passed in 1969, they were able to go to the polls and vote for the very first time. And I think about them not living long enough to see a president that was elected of color, which is something that blacks in this country never thought was a possibility. And so that night, our vote mattered. Because that vote was connected to other people's votes. And it was enough to win an election for the candidate that you chose. And so that's what happens every election day. But some of the figures say that up to 40% of the people who were able to vote in this election did not vote. Because they were so disgusted with the candidates. And so, you know, from that standpoint and from the standpoint that they felt like the election was switched to from dealing with issues to being about race and then to see the divide come in this country, watching the divide that developed between this country, between blacks and whites and Hispanics and women and people of color, is showing us that the voting process is not the issue, but it's race. racism has reared its ugly head now. And if you go back to the beginning of if you go back to the beginning of history where it concerns the Spirit-filled church, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, 1900, with William Seymour and Parnham, Charles Parnham, when the baptism of the Holy Ghost was really big, that there was a revival out in California at that time, and Parnham and Seymour actually were at that revival, and Parnham was a white man and Seymour was a black man, but Seymour was not allowed to go inside the meeting but was able to sit outside the meeting and hear the preaching and the teaching. And so whenever he left from that meeting, he goes to Azusa, California, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost begins to build steam in the revival that he's having out there. And so out of that revival was formed the Churches of God in Christ. Charles Parnham, on the other hand, left the meeting where he was in and formed what was actually the Churches of God, the Assemblies of God. Those they were split from a racial divide standpoint, and that divide still exists today. And so, regardless of whether you're Christian or not Christian, the church is considered to be an empty building until people come into it, and many people have made the statement that the most racist, divided place in this country is on Sunday morning, because you still have a black church and a white church and a Hispanic church and a Native American Indian church and a Hispanic church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so we are split because of our beliefs and our belief system. And so I think that politics, for the most part, was created for the purpose of dividing the people. Amen. And more than ever, you can see that this election divided people along racial lines, along female, in the male and female, black and white. It's just unbelievable how the political process has divided us as individuals. And so when we come together on Sunday morning, whether it be church or whatever, we're still divided in our mindset. And as you said in the beginning, Prophet, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So, next question is that if that's the case, should we continue to get involved in the political process? I'm back on it again. We've got several callers in queue. Nobody wants to talk to us, Prophet. Nobody's still talking to us. Everybody's still on the line, but they won't talk to us. We're still trying to figure it out whether or not this is even an activity that is going to influence people spiritually, because of the fact that we are we're so divided. I wish I had a young person on the line that can help these older people out and begin to shed some light on what you think about the political process and whether or not you think that voting actually is beneficial. If we had somebody that was, I wish we had a political expert, someone that had somebody that's been involved in the election process specifically, literally, to shed some light on the process. Let me ask you this: is there anybody out there that believes that the voting process is rigged? That it's not truly a true representation of what the people believe? I know we got the Electoral College deal where electoral votes are added, but other people just want to say, let the people vote, let the person that gets the most votes win. But you can get the most votes and still lose the election. So how many of you would say that that process is flawed? Press star 1 on your phone this morning if you want to make a comment about the process being flawed. My God, from Zion, and the people said not a word. So we have so much profit that's being done and being said along the area and along the lines of race, that I think people are afraid to say anything lest they reveal how they stand, what they said, but they don't want to. They'll do it on Facebook, but they won't talk on the phone.
That's true. I truly believe that process is an error, because I believe it's that the candidate that gets the vote first, that gets to, 270 first, when we have different regions of the world coming in at different times, or different regions of the United States, time is behind on the West Coast by 3 hours, and everybody doesn't vote early, but as long as the poll is open, I feel like the vote should count. So I really don't understand and don't believe in the process as far as getting to the count first. Because I believe it's the popular vote. Yeah, the popular vote would tell us a different story if all the votes were accounted for, and then there, I believe there may be some people that might have been watching that understand the concept, and to see, oh, well, we can't win anyway, so there's no need for me to go out because it's not enough to catch up in time. So that may be some of the people's rationale for not going to the polls. Maybe they were, going within the last hour or whatever, and because the numbers had already added to the margin of winner, they just say, no need for me to go because my vote is not going to count now, because it's not how many they get, it's who gets it first. So that's another point of view that may discourage people that may get off work late, may have a lot of responsibilities throughout the day, but by the time they get within the time that they can vote, it's too late to make a difference.
Well, and I have a problem with the electoral process because I want to know who determines who gets how many electoral votes. Why do you have more electoral votes in Iowa than you do in Mississippi? You know, why does it matter more in New Hampshire than it does in New Mexico? How are these electoral votes distributed so that the popular vote to me seems like the only way to go, because that's the only way that you get one person, one vote.
That's true.
But in New Hampshire, if I'm voting, versus Mississippi, I can actually more so determine the outcome of the election because we have more electoral votes in New Hampshire than we do in Mississippi. And so from that standpoint, it doesn't seem like it is a democratic process. And I believe that that's where some of the issues are, is that if you're going to let the people decide, let the people decide. And that way the candidates would have to talk to all of the people if they wanted their vote. So anyway, it has thrown a monkey wrench into our society, and it is affecting the church big time. Big time. It's affecting the church big time. And you know, a lot of people that are in the state of minority in this country. Now, there are actually, I believe by the numbers, there are more women in this country than men. If I am exactly correct. And with that being said, you had one candidate which was a woman, and one that had made disparaging comments about women. But what was amazing about that is the numbers show that the majority of the women voted for the one that was making negative comments about women. So we're in a state of conflict now.
Very much
and
so.
The conflict is, I don't think that, number one, the process has determined the way the people feel, and that's why they're protesting. And then some of the things that have come out during that process, I believe, has caused other people to feel like their lives don't matter. So we're pressing into this new year, 2017, and the numbers 1 and 7 add up to the number 8, which is which has the meaning of being a new beginning. Are we really going to get a new beginning in this election? Or do you believe that things are just going to stay the same? And again, from a Christian standpoint, to me, it doesn't matter who is in office, but like my friend Mr. Sharon said down in Dallas, that if my people who are called by my name would just pray, then we could change whatever the outcome was, just by prayer.
Right.
And we can shift this thing into our favor, even though Christians now have become a minority in this country.
Well, it's okay that we're a minority, because there are many instances in the Bible that we physically were the minority, but when we look, you know, whose prayer? God opened their eyes that they may see how many you have put on our side. You know, we may be few in numbers, but if we look at the force that God has given us, the assistance that God gives us, that we are mighty and we are more. If we could just open our eyes and see in the spirit who's working with us.
Yeah, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 7 that it's not because you were the greatest number, because you were actually the smallest number, and it wasn't because you chose me, but it was because I chose you. That's what the Lord said.
Mm-hmm.
And so To me, it doesn't matter who's in the position, but it does matter who's standing in the gap.
Amen.
Who's praying? If we're believers and we're praying, we shouldn't, I don't think, be praying for alignment with the political party. Because I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but I'm a kingdom cat. I believe in kingdom. I don't believe in political nothing. Because the political party may not do what you want them to do, but God will do everything that you ask him to do. So I'm wanting to find out, you know, how to get God involved in the process. And if God be for us, then who could be against us? Boy, I wish I could hear from a young person today. I wish there was a young person on the line today that would give me their point of view about the election, because they have a different mindset. They got a different spin on things. And one thing about it is that because they have a different spin on things, they come and they release a different understanding. And if I had a young person on the line that would come on and give their opinion, I would appreciate it. Press star one if you may be young in heart. I don't know your age or not, but press star one if you want to get in on this comment. We got a few minutes left today, and I just wanted to do something a little different this morning, see if I could generate some conversation this morning. It looks like I didn't. Maybe, Prophet, I should have served coffee and croissants with this crowd this morning, and maybe we would get a response. But anyway, I don't feel that this whole political thing is over with. I think that my political predictions in January are still true, because I said that the person that would win would be a surprise, and all I can say now is surprise, because in the beginning we didn't think he had any chance to win, but he's won.
I think that's true, Prophet. I think that's true. Everybody didn't think that he would win. But God allowed this to happen. And this is what we have to understand. He allowed it to happen, because everybody was hung up on Hillary would win this election. But even as I went to sleep that night and I didn't watch the election, when I woke up that morning before I turned the TV on, God allowed me to know that Donald had even won the election. And when I turned it on, I heard it was of no surprise. So, see, sometimes we try to put a person where a person that we think should fulfill, and forgive me for cutting you off, fulfill the position, okay? But God said, no, I'm going to put this person right here, because I got to get the attention of the people, okay? Because the people was not listening at what God was saying. God been revealing himself for the last 5 years, even when he told me to go back to the basics of his word. For the last 5 years in this, the word has been revealed. Okay, let's go back. Let's take it a step back when President Obama became the president, and he said one word that stuck with me for his 8 years, and that was change. And I began to ask God, and everybody was patting their hands, and they was glad about the change. But my question to God was, God, what is the change that he's talking about? And as time began to go on, when he got between to me and his 6th year, change began to pick up, okay? So what happened was everybody patted their hands, but when the change began to come, they got disappointed. We get disappointed at so many things because we put our faith in man. We can't put our faith in man, but we have to put our faith in God. So let's go to Donald Trump now. Now that he has made president, the president that nobody really wanted to see, that didn't even want him in there because of the words that came from his mouth. But God even used his mouth to even prophesy some words that have come to pass. Yes, he did. See, an open mind, because he wouldn't shut up. And the people really weren't listening. I don't want him in office. He's a racist, white supremacist. He want a white nation. See, all of these things, when Donald Trump opened up his mouth, he spoke a whole lot of things. He spit out oatmeal, grits, eggs, and everything else. And people got very disappointed. But because both of them had a record, we chose between who would be the good and who would be the bad. But God said, no, I'm going to put him right there. Because in order to get my attention of these people, these are my people, and I'm trying to bring them back to me. This is who I'm going to put in office. So we don't have a choice. God is allowing us to repent, come back to him, and pray. We got to humble ourselves. That's just ain't no way around it. And you can't flow across it. You got to come back to God. Because guess what? We are so hung up in the world till we forgot who Jesus really was. We got lost because we connected. And every time I think about the connecting part, we connected to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because what caused Lot's wife to be a monument in the New Testament today? She was connected to everything in the city. God had brought her out. And the only thing he was saying was run and don't look back. But she thought about everything that was going on in the city that she was connected to. And this is what God gave me on that Sodom and Gomorrah. So if I'm connected to something and have not disconnected myself, on my way out, I think about my connection and I find myself going back to the same place. So God really had to use Donald Trump in this election. And I believe for the next 2 years, the people they're gonna pray. They're going to pray because they're going to see some things begin to happen. It's going to cause them to pray. They're going to have no choice. But we got to quit being a lukewarm church because we're divided, like you say, even in the church. We are so divided we can't even come together.
Because we
seem like we're not serving the same God. You got the Jehovah's Witnesses over here. You got the Catholic people over here. You got the Spanish people over here. You got the African Americans over here. You got the Asians back here. So we got so many gods that we have forgot about who the real God is.
Ooh.
I'm going to leave you alone this morning because you're going to make me dance this morning because you know what? I get excited because the thing about it is we are a lost generation and we got to come back to God. Ain't no way around it. Ain't no way around it. We got to come back. And if we don't come back, guess what, prophet? They're going to get lost in the shift because we can't be hung between two opinions. What did God do for those Israelites? He asked them, whose side is your own? And when they made that little choice, he had them all just killed out, raised up another generation. So what is God going to do? He's going to raise up another generation. Mm-hmm. We got to get this thing right. People may not like what we're saying, but Pastor, it is true. It is true. We got to get it right. I thank God so much every day that I got a relationship with him, that if I die and went out of this world today, I'm on my way home. But I don't want to go by myself. I want somebody to go with me. We got to draw them in. We drawing them. But so many don't want to listen, and it hurts my heart because they don't want to listen. They want to continue to connect with this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I don't do the things of the world because I'm in Christ. And every day I'm living for him. Come on, let's get real. I say to the internet people, I say to the phone people, let's get real. Your opinion was very important today. You could have just picked up the phone and just called in. We want to hear from you. God want to hear from you. Don't hide in your closet and think you're not being heard. We're all in this thing together. Because even in Isaiah 9, he said he would carry the government up on his shoulder. God knew that this would be divided. He prophesied this to us, that the nations would be divided, and the nations are the people. We are so divided. We got to come together, and we got to love. And I guarantee you this, within the next 2 years, we're going to love. We got to come together and love, because ain't no way around the love. We got to love. We got to love one another. Because my brother can't do nothing without me. If my brother falls, I got to be able to help him back up. And if I'm not there to help him back up, guess what? He'll willow away. So we got to get this in us. It's the word. He is the word. We quote this word every day, but let me tell you something. He's outside this word. I told him when I ain't got this book in my hand. So you got to get enough word in you in order for us to progress and activate and go forth in this. You got to walk with this word. He's the living word from the beginning. He's the living word to the end. He's everlasting. He's peace. He's everything that we need today.
Yes.
So when you pick up your word, think about it. The nations have divided. He told us in the word how to get this thing back together. Humble yourself. Seek his face. Turn from your wicked ways. And he made three promises in that one verse. He said, then when I hear from heaven, then when I forgive your sin, and then when I heal your land. And that's the only way it's going to happen. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it has been living with me all my life. And if we want to see the results, let's come together. We're not partial Christians. We're not partiality to one another. We got to be real with one another, whole, not separated. Let's go back to the book of Acts. When they all gathered in one house, they was praying. They broke bread together from house to house. We can't even do that anymore. I'm going to leave that thing alone today, prophet, because I done went way over in the book of Acts. I don't mind sharing my opinion today. That's one thing I don't mind, because I'm going to live what I preach. They'll tell you I'm not a fake. I'm a real. I live what I preach, and I try now to come in and upset the people. But that's okay. Jesus upset them. So let me upset you today. Let's get it right.
That's right.
God
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Ooh, we love you, we love you, Minister Sharon.
I love you too.
So we've heard from the Lord this morning. And the Lord whom we seek suddenly appeared from Dallas this morning. But I tell you what. The one thing about it is a vote for God, a vote for God will change a life. And
yeah.
If we as believers would think more about the life that we live and that we put out there every day, we would cause people to know what is the truth. What is the truth? Because that's what people are really searching for. They're searching for the truth. Because once you come into the knowledge of the truth, then the truth will make you free. But people are not looking for so much for truth as they are for someone to lead them. But the Bible says that the world is moaning and groaning for the manifestation of the true sons of God. It's
mm-hmm.
the lifestyle of the believer that is actually going to change this world. Not somebody from a political party, not some president. The only thing that's going to come out of the political realm, the Bible says, is the Antichrist. But the things that's going to bring Christ back into the earth is the lies of true believers. Listen, we're out of time this morning, and I want to leave with a prayer. I want to leave with a prayer for those that are on the line, that they will not get caught up into this racial, political, chaotic atmosphere, but they would allow themselves to go into the high place and to see things from God's vantage point, and then come back and produce a lifestyle that will change people from their way of thinking. Father, we just thank you for your people this morning. We thank you for their attentiveness to what it is that you are saying. And, Lord, we pray now for boldness to come, not just in speaking, but let boldness come in the ability, O God, to bring forth a lifestyle that matters. It's the kingdom life that matters. Not black, not white, but the kingdom life. Those who are willing to do your will. Those that are willing to do exploits. Father, we just thank you for the faith to arise in a people that causes them to hunger and thirst after righteousness and not political parties, not political correctness, not racial issues, but that which would produce a manifestation of what you desire in the earth so that your name can be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, I appreciate each and every one of you on the line this morning. If this is your first time being on the line, we appreciate you so much, and we want you to become a monthly supporter of the Kingdom Ministries and what it is that we do in presenting the gospel from a prophetic into the lives of men and women all over the country and around the world. You can do so by going to our website at kogwoc.org. That's kogwoc.org. Let the Lord speak to you. Sow a seed of support. It will truly be a blessing to us, but even a blessing to you. Amen. Because you're sowing it in good ground that's being used in order to spread the gospel around the world. And so we thank God for each and every one of you, and we pray that this week will be the best week of your life, and that God will be glorified in all that you do. Remember, we'll see you here again next time, next Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, for another episode of the Serious Bible Study. God bless you, everybody, and we'll see you next time. I'm gonna